Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Christmas without a test match? It's unthinkable. Although, you'd have to say the Boxing Day test is potentially in doubt due to the bitter and intractable pay dispute between the administrator of the sport, Cricket Australia, and the elite-level players represented by the Australian Cricketers Association. At the centre of the dispute is the way the players are paid. For the last 20 years, Australia's top cricketers have been paid under a revenue-sharing model, which splits up payment made between domestic and international players and Cricket Australia. The governing body wants to change the payment model, but the Australian Cricketers Association is having none of it. Well, for his view, we went to Rodney Cavalier, a past long-time chairman of the Sydney Cricket Ground Trust, a cricket historian, the author of many books on cricket, an honorary life member of the Marylebone Cricket Club. He's also a former ALP politician and was the Minister for Education. He managed quite a few industrial disputes in his time.
Delighted to talk to you again, Stephen, after all these years, if not decades.
Yes, it has been decades. And that's good, because we need to take an historical look. In terms of the big sweep of history, are we seeing one of these cataclysmic changes in our cricketing world?
I doubt it. I don't think it's cataclysmic. It seems unlikely that it'll be as important as the two great schisms that have occurred in cricket since the formation of the Cricket Board of Control in 1905.
Okay, so the first schism was?
Well, I think we need to talk about the first schism, Stephen, in terms of what there was before there was the first schism.
All right.
Cricket is a 19th century game, though it has its roots earlier than that. But it becomes organised into counties and competitions like the Sydney First Grade and the Sheffield Shield in the 19th century.
Right.
It's when you get the really outstanding first-class cricket grounds like the Sydney Cricket Ground, Melbourne Cricket Ground coming into existence across Australia. And you have cricket is by players and for players. They elect their own captains and they elect their own managers and they organise their own overseas tours and within them they have a treasurer and they split the profits at the end of it. Now, Australia federates in 1901. The different cricket associations, which you put on the field teams called Australia. Point always should be remembered that when Australia played its first test in 1877, there was no Commonwealth of Australia.
Mm.
We were competing in an Olympic Games and in test cricket before there was an Australia.
What a great point.
I've written about this, that cricket, that sport, and especially cricket, are driving imperatives for the Federation of the States. Federation comes to pass in 1901, and in 1905, cricket organised itself into a board of control. It has limited power to begin with, but in 1912 it's bold enough to select a manager for the touring Ashes side, a group of players known as the Big Six, because they're the six finest players of that era, including the sublime and immortal Victor Trumper.
Your favourite cricketer of all time, yes, that's right.
Exactly, and the finest cricketer of all time. He refuses to accept that authority. He refuses to tour, so do five others. The tour goes ahead, is seen as a success, and effectively power is crushed for the next 60 years.
For 60 years?
Yeah.
So the next time that occurs is that the Kerry Packer revolution? Yeah.
The World Series schism comes to pass in, it was 77, it's serious. By 78, 79, cricket split in two. And it's split into not only in Australia, but in England, the West Indies, right across the world. There's now a countervailing commercial force funded by Channel 9 and using the revenues that it earns from advertising its own organised cricket matches, known as World Series Cricket, to confront the board directly. And that schism wrecks the Ashes series of 78-79. Australia is cops a thrashing 5-1. Crowds were falling away. There's a general feeling by the board that they had to work out some negotiated terms of peace. It was in fact a surrender. It was a game, set and match victory to Kerry Packer. And with that, the game becomes a great deal more commercial. I can understand the players, though I didn't see it. I can understand the players' attitudes then, though I didn't see it as clearly at the time. Mm-hmm. I remember 78, 79, I'm a lot younger and a lot less worldly wise. But I, in the years to come, I became a friend, I'd like to think, of Ian Chappell, Greg Chappell, Tony Greig, and I could understand what they were doing. Their choice was something not much above starvation-level payments to riches beyond avarice in terms of the cricket of the time. And the board was shaken by the enthusiasm, the zeal with which all the leading cricketers embraced the pack of contracts and gave more than their all to make sure the World Series was a success.
This well, it's a very Australian story, isn't it? It's Big E establishment, yep. Melbourne Club and the Sydney Cricket Ground and all these people versus these young cricketers who come in off suburban pitches and they'll entertain the gentry, but, you know, they're going to get recompensed for it.
That's true, and but Kerry Packer had wires and connections in the right places. You're right about where they first played was Mickey Mouse Grounds, like VFL Park in Melbourne, the Sydney Showground. It was imperative that he got the game played on the real cricket ground.
That's right, yes, yes.
November 1978 is the key moment of victory when he, thanks to the Rand government, World Series cricket got access to the Sydney Cricket Ground. Yeah. They played the first game in the world under lights. The gates had to be shut. There were that many people coming.
Yeah.
Or rather open, because no point in any longer trying to collect fees. And World Series was a success. From that point onwards, it was a question of the terms of peace, how favourable they be to World Series cricket.
Well, now I wonder if we see echoes of that in what's happening at the moment. It's passingly ironic that it's the Australia A-B team thing playing out in terms of the current decision not to go to take Australia A to South Africa. The Australia A thing comes out of that whole World Series era.
That's true. The concept of Australia A, that was in order to, in those days we used to have three teams touring and playing against each other when 50-over cricket was far more important than it's become.
Yeah.
There was no 20-over stuff in those days. I think there are echoes, but I don't see exact parallels. For one, the cricketers are extremely well paid. But the cricketers are making it clear, as they did in the 70s, they're not going to be pushed around. They are not convinced by the arguments of the board that there's any reason to move away from revenue sharing. Now, the board has got compelling reasons. It wants to improve the lot of women cricketers. It wants to improve the lot of first-class cricketers who don't make international cricket. And they want to put more money into the grassroots. Well, you talk to any test cricketer of today, and they'll say they don't oppose any of those objectives. It's a question of how much money ultimately goes to the elite players, elite male players in international cricket.
Are these group of players then going to become, for a while, the pariahs that the Thompsons, Lillies and Chappells and others were in the World Series days?
I don't get that impression. I'm not reading. Remember that that's a very good question, and the word prior is not overstating it. Richie Beno was cut to the quick when he discovered he was regarded as an undesirable person. He had given everything to Australian cricket.
Yeah.
There's no one daring to speak that sort of rhetoric about Steve Smith, David Warner, and the leading players. The relations, at least in public, are far, far more civil.
There are some comments. It's interesting. I don't know what you are, but just in general culture, I'm hearing the sort of talk about, oh, these people are just they're too rich. They're just interested in money. It's all about the Indian, IPL league. They don't care about the game anymore. Are you getting any of that?
I do hear that, of course, but it's not coming from the Australian Cricket Board or Cricket Australia. Is not coming from James Sutherland or David Peaver. They're certainly not talking in those terms publicly. There's been no breakdown in terms of rhetoric, and I noticed that James Sutherland has held back his own intervention. What he does now will be interesting. Now, I don't think that is part of the rhetoric, though. We need to understand about every cricketer how much they're earning now. There's only a limited number of years when they can mint big money, and fortunately, they're not spending this money on gin palaces on the Mediterranean. They're buying houses, that's true, usually in the Sutherland Shire, and they're taking care of it. They're a lot smarter than other sportsmen.
Yeah, and more better advised.
They're going to be approaching an end by their mid-30s.
Well, Rodney Cavalier is one of the greatest observers of the game and arguably one of its most successful custodians. Do you get a sense of where this will play out?
I think we should see it in terms of an industrial dispute rather than a cricket dispute.
Well, now you've managed a few of those in your time.
I did, and so I would say to you and the listeners that the resolutions usually come out of a clear blue sky. An agent of history intervenes. There's an important break. There's a moment of generosity that's offered and accepted, and the two sides come to what they think is an honourable outcome in which honour is shared all round. What is certain is that while the tour of South Africa is important in a sense, what it really matters is having the best Australian team on the field come the beginning of the Ashes. No one wants to see a repeat of 78-79 where a second 11 is absolutely thrashed by England. That is something I can't believe will be allowed to happen.
I'm with you. Well, Rodney Cavalier, it's been a delight catching up with you again. Thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure, Stephen.